The following is a morning disciples' meeting and kirtan with His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on January 3, 1993, at Tejo Prakash's house in Gidanagri.
So to introduce the topic, I'll read a little bit from Begging from the Nectar of the Holy Name. This mostly has to do with japa, but japa and is the holy name and kirtan is the holy name. When we're together, we can chant. So the purpose of these meetings was to try to have a memorable reciprocation so that we can deepen our relationship. And if we can, therefore, have an impression about from the spiritual master about the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, that's a great gain. That my spiritual master wants me to chant Hare Krishna nicely, and that then as you chant, you remember some insight gained about while chanting together and, or taste. So, at the beginning of this book, I proposed to take a retreat to do some japa chanting. And I refer to chanting and having a friendly meeting, I use the word, a friendly meeting with the holy names for a few moments while chanting. And I try to express this in a dialogue. So, me, I say, "My dear Harinam, we have known each other for many years. It will be a great shame if I don't develop love for you and don't allow you to pervade my life." Harinam says, "Learning to love me means you have to pay specific attention. I am Krishna. My form, qualities, and pastimes are none different from me." This is one of the basic realizations that occurs when we advance in our chanting, to realize that Krishna is none different than His holy name. Krishna, whose pastimes we hear, whose teachings we hear, whom we worship as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any aspect and all aspects of Krishna, they are present when the devotee chants the pure holy names. Or you could categorize our ignorance or lack of taste in the holy name as failing to realize that Krishna is here. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was talking this morning about the failure of almost all conditioned souls to know the fact about the facts of death, that we're going to die. And that's also stated by Yudhisthira as the most amazing thing, that such a powerful, unavoidable fact is ignored by everyone. So using that same logic on the transcendental level, the positive realization is that Krishna has come in His holy name, and Lord Chaitanya is distributing this holy name, and the ignorance equal to the ignorance of death is not to know that Krishna is present in His name, and yet devotees chant and don't know this due to aparads. And when we do know this, then we reach the goal. Harinam is so important. Mm-hmm. Especially in this age. The ideal situation for chanting is described in Nectar of Instruction. One should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes. Srila Haridas Thakur said to Lord Chaitanya, this is Harinam Chintamani, "Chanting the holy name is the prime religious activity of a Vaishnava. From the holy name gradually blossom the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes. The entire panorama of Lord Krishna's pastimes is present in the holy name." The Lord's holy name is always present, therefore it is the most efficient process. This is a very practical thing, which the Acharya is definitely had in mind with their expert vision for how to rescue conditioned souls. Give us something that we can always take to very easily, very efficient, no prior steps or qualifications, always there. I'll lead the kirtan at Kartel. So I'd like it to be steady. We'll try not to quicken and to such a point that we have to stop and start again. Keep on. And trying to keep some of these quotes in mind. We repeat the holy names. As in japa, we keep trying to bring the mind back when it goes away, and praying to Krishna to please allow us to worship him by the process of chanting his holy names. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Chant to please Krishna. And to know Krishna, to serve Krishna. So that's why we're chanting together now. And we have to tolerate, like the tree. One should be tolerant like a tree. So we have to tolerate that the mind doesn't want to pay attention or whatever else may come up during the chanting session. Any inconvenience or tedium and felt. We tolerate and practice the yajna. It's an easy yajna. And yet, Prabhupada says, in one place, chanting is easy, but we have to take to it very seriously. A little crowded, I know. A little warm too, huh? Golokera Prima Donna. Hare Krishna Sankirtan. Praying that the holy name may descend on our tongues. Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Everyone was thinking of different things while chanting. And I'm sure we all had some high points, and we want to try to build on those high points, know that we can, those peak points, they can be made more of the regular, and the bottom part can drop out. As we chant in that mood, Trinada Peace and Icheno, Sorry Vasihishna. I was thinking of Prabhupada and the lecture that he gave one time in Tompkins Square Park, standing by the tree. And he said that there are different levels of reality. There's the sensual, and then there's the mental, and the level of intelligence, intellect. And above that is the spiritual. So, and the chanting, he says, immediately takes us to the spiritual platform. So such a clear a description he gives in those words. And to chant, I think we can all experience that it takes place. It's not an intellectual discussion even about how devotees can get along with each other, or what is the meaning of the philosophy as we can understand it with our brains and intelligence. But it's just a different realm beyond words, except for these words that are repeated, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the emotions are given such freedom and to take place in the highest level of feelings when we chant together. It is definitely above all those other levels. But those other levels also, they're also spiritual. Discussion doesn't have to be dry discussion, but it can also be on the spiritual platform. But the chanting is especially recommended because the others are not as accessible for us. So we should always have chanting in addition to any lecturing or any other Krishna conscious activity. And then the talking can become... Prabhupada knew what he was doing. He would get everyone to chant together for half an hour, and then he would talk. It was like he created an opening in their minds that they could hear this, who were so unqualified and for whom the concepts that he would speak would be so foreign. But in a way that is universal, which he had faith was universal beyond language and nationality, he created the opening in the heart and to the soul, and then they could hear Lord Chaitanya, Bhagavad Gita, and so on. While I was chanting, I was also looking at that picture. Prabhupada says the pictures are the like windows to the spiritual world. So I was thinking, there's Krishna in his form, whose name we are chanting, and there he is in his pastime. Nam, Rupa, Guna, Leela. These all come one after another, starting with the name. And you can't force them, but we can be open to them. There's nothing wrong with looking at a picture or thinking of the qualities of Krishna or his pastimes of Krishna. So when we say the holy name is Krishna himself, and then we think, well, who is Krishna? What is Krishna? There is Krishna, as we played the tape the other day, our simple Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's Krishna with his friends. And that made me think of a verse in the Bhagavatam which describes Krishna and his friends in Vrindavan. I'd like to read that, coming in the wake of our chanting. And it's just sharing with you some things I was thinking of to maybe help you in your kirtan meditations or japa meditations. You can add these thinkings as you chant and as you try to pay attention. So this is this pastime is Krishna with his gopas, with his friends, eating lunch and joking and everything. And the perspective of it, one way you can take it is like, if you just extend the meadow a little more, there's more grass and there's more room, and you can sit there and be one of the cowherd boys joking with Krishna. Or another way is that you're at a distance from it, but watching it, and you're maybe not even a gopa, but you could even be a gopi, who is interested in the particular center personality, Krishna,
and not able to be there. The gopis are not able to be there. So, but they think of Krishna in his different pastimes. In this one chapter, chapter 21, it's the same chapter in the 10th canto or in the Krishna book, the gopis glorify Krishna's flute. The gopis are at home, and yet by their minds, they're thinking and visualizing a pastime like this, what Krishna is doing in the forest, but from their own point of view, especially attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna. So this verse describes the form of Krishna in his forest activities with his gopis, his cowherd boys, but it's spoken by one of the gopis to each other. They're speaking about how Krishna is so attractive. Bahar bitam natavara bapu karnayo karnikaram bibrabhasha kanaka kapisham vai jayantim chamalam randran vainor adara sudaya purayan gopa brindaya brindaranyam svapada ramanam pravishad gita kirti. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikar flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. So, whether it's the holy name on our lips and ears, or seeing the picture of Krishna, or hearing this poetic description from the heartfelt feelings of the gopis, it all depends on our receptivity, whether we can enter this spiritual level. But this is so powerful that it is bound to have effect on us. And especially if we keep ourselves very humble. I was also thinking during the chanting of a verse that in a sense precedes these emotions. And that's a verse or a foundation for the rasic emotions. And that it's a verse expressing remorse and humility and appreciation for the holy name. It was spoken by Ajamil after he was saved by the Vishnu Dutas, and he realized he was saved by the holy name, by his utterance of the holy name. So he says, I don't have the verse memorized, but it's something like, oh, what am I? And what is the holy name? And then he compares that I am such a fallen person. I did so many bad things. I'm a fallen Brahmin, such a sinner. And that's what I am. And what is the holy name? How glorious is the holy name? So feeling like that, appreciating that the mercy of the holy name has come down on such a sinful person as myself, but still I do not receive this mercy due to so much pride and bodily absorption and ego. So simultaneously feeling the softness of the mercy and feeling the hardness of your heart, you can begin like that. Then, I'm not exactly sure how this connects, but it does somehow in my mind. I have had a little section of a tape by Prabhupada. Maybe just to hear him, to bless us in our kirtan, our attempt to come together. We can hear him It's a very sweet description he's making about this same Krishna with his boys and friends in Vrindavan. And in particular, he's talking about the variety of exchanges and how Krishna really likes this. Everyone's a little different and everyone is pleasing Krishna. So when we all chant in congregation, we're one, and yet everyone is struggling in their own and offering their own prayers to Krishna, and there's unity and variety together. I like this. I just heard the segment yesterday, and we always like to hear Prabhupada when he's speaking something full of wisdom about devotees and their struggles, and with a very liberal attitude towards how service can be performed and accommodated. And so we can play it. Just before this, he's talking about the Mayavadis who don't recognize variety. They say everything is one. There's not even God and devotee. And then he starts to praise variety with Krishna in the center and freedom for serving him.
In common English it is said, variety is the mother of enjoyment. So Krishna wants this variety. So you all, a devotee, the central point is to love Krishna and offer him service, but that service may be a variety. You cannot say that because you are serving Krishna in a type, and therefore if somebody is serving in a different way, must be approved by the authority, you cannot criticize marriage. Marriage is mother of jnana.
Prabhupada, of course, he sometimes starts a sentence and then says another phrase. There's a different thought suddenly. So I think what he said there is, if you can, because you're doing a type of service, you cannot say that another person, and then he says, must be approved by authority, you cannot say that another person, so he's saying, he's about to say that because you have a particular service, you can't say that another person's service has to be like yours. But then he interjects the qualification first, that whatever the variety is, it has to be approved by authority. It's like saying, anyway, that's what I understand how he's doing. So go ahead.
Same vegetable, the same ghee, the same salt, same spices, but there are variety of people. That is required. We must come, we want variety. Bahunmukhi seva. How? The central point is how? The Vrindavan, Krishna is the central point. The coward boy, they are satisfying Krishna by going in the forest, playing with him, mock fighting with him. That is also variety. When he comes home, Krishna is taken care by Mother Yashoda, different dress, different foodstuff, variety. Similarly, when in the company of the gopi, varieties. So variety is the mother. So it is not that I will have to do exactly like it. I will have to serve Krishna, but no mental concussion, following the footsteps. Whatever means they are. Follow again. You can create variety, but it must not deviate from the original authority. That is what. So Prahlad Maharaj decided that.
Nice. Inspiring, encouraging. Prabhupada, when he describes Krishna, Krishna sounds so greedy to taste all these varieties. He wants to go home and be with his mother and father and be like that. Then he wants to be with the gopis and wants to be with the cowherd boys. Always looking for something new, for a new devotee, and some new offering from that devotee. So we, as practicing devotees, we should pick up this spirit and not demand of others that they serve like us, or else we can't appreciate them. Even though personally we may not appreciate that kind of expression from our own nature, we should still, if it's a bona fide service, we should appreciate that they're doing it. For example, around the world, in a number of places, rock music is being used in service to Krishna. So I may not like that for different reasons, but I have to see that there are sincere devotees who are praising Krishna like that, and they're getting good results. And so I sincerely appreciate devotees doing that. And similarly, devotees may not like the way I, by their own taste, may not like the way I express my service. But if they see that he's doing something sincere and he's getting some results, then we should genuinely appreciate that person and appreciate how Krishna is appreciating it. Otherwise, we may disturb Krishna's appreciation of all the varieties that he wants to taste. Neither can we demand that everybody like exactly the way we serve, but there'll be those who do, and will serve like-minded ways. And it seems like an important key on understanding things in that celebration of variety, with the person in the center, Krishna, being like greedy to taste all the different offerings, not the same thing, but he's looking around for all the devotees, and what have you got? Like the boys are saying, well, I have a laddu from home, I have some sandwich, let me have it, let me see. So, when we're all chanting together, Krishna's looking around in everyone's heart. How is he feeling? How is he chanting? How is she chanting? And he's not so interested unless he can catch a little flavor of some bhakti there. And then he's very attracted. This is the nature of Krishna. He's always tasting rasa. Raso vaisa. He's the source of all the rasa in the world, all the taste, and he's personally tasting it. He's the enjoyer. Govindam adi purusham tamaham vijami. He's the supreme enjoyer. So what's he enjoying? All these varieties of service. Therefore we should get in there and make our offering. Don't be put off by somebody saying, oh, that's not a good offering, you can't offer Krishna that. As long as it's approved, you can offer. So yes, I can offer this. I can chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will hear me. I don't think I'll dig into these and save them for another session. Any questions about kirtan and japa?
Yeah. Tomorrow in the college.
Tomorrow.
Do it again.
Yeah? Okay. We can chant. We chanted about half an hour and then save some time for trying to talk about realizations after chanting, while chanting. Maybe some of you can share your realizations or ask questions of something you experienced while chanting.
Yeah. Kirtan is so enjoyable and fun even, but sometimes japa by yourself on the beads, it becomes seems like such a chore sometimes. How do we bring the joy of the group kirtan into when we're doing it by ourselves?
Hmm. Well, it's the same. It is the same. It's the name. It's another variety. There's a time for it. A time to be alone with Krishna, and a time to celebrate with strength in numbers, and the surging of the song and the emotions rising, the rhythm of kirtan is maybe unsurpassed, but we like variety, so we like to sometimes do this too. Maybe naturally one is inclined to one, but the other is there too. That's why the acharyas have given us the beads and the chanting of the beads as well as the kirtan. Don't look for exactly the same kind of gratification from it, but it's another kind of that can be as enjoyable and as fun, and certainly give as much shelter. Perhaps you could say it emphasizes our aloneness, that we are alone with Krishna, which is like also one of the things that everyone desires. They want Krishna to specifically recognize them and be with Krishna. And Krishna, by Yogamaya, he does that. He makes you think, yes, it's just you and me. But then we also enjoy being with so many nice devotees, and our weakness is carried up by the group strength. So the boys like to sit all together with Krishna, but they like to do something, to have some just a private exchange with Krishna sometimes too. Chapas like that.
Gurmaj, I wonder if you could expand a little bit on Avaroha Panta and Aroha Panta chanting. That we have to go into just to keep our mind.
Ascending process and descending process?
Yeah, you mentioned it in Begging for the Nitya Mohini. And I could see, you know, on a Raganuga platform, it would just be. We wouldn't have to make so much self-endeavor.
Mm.
But what really kind of distinguishes, you know, in a way?
We have to do both. That's always the principle. Make an effort, but know that the effort stops short. It doesn't reach Krishna. It reaches up a small distance. And it doesn't reach Krishna, and it can't reach Krishna. But it has to be made. And also Krishna is attracted to the effort, and then he'll descend. I think if we can feel that helplessness, that I'm making the effort, but I can see by this effort that I cannot attain love of Krishna, and then you just stay in that position, crying like the bird that only drinks the water that falls from the cloud. A very special monsoon cloud, otherwise it won't take any other water. Chakora. So it was always just like that, chanting with our mouth open, waiting for the rain to fall. And if it doesn't fall, we'll just keep chanting. And we're letting Krishna know that. And this is my effort. But unless you come, it's just going to stay like this. Please calm down. Begging for the nectar of the holy name to drop. So that in that steadfastness there's also a kind of nectar or of surrender. Therefore both are required for success, not just one. I should end soon. I'm supposed to go to a Gita Nagari press meeting that's being held, and just at least say something at the beginning of that meeting. And we're having another meeting tonight at 5:30. we were thinking that there'd be a lot less people than we could have the slideshow here, but it doesn't look like it. Mm-hmm. There's people on the stairs, they wouldn't be able to see it. Yeah. So we'll have that slideshow about Vrindavan. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah.